This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
France says oui to a second term for Emmanuel Macron. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Hello, good morning. French President Emmanuel Macron is waking up today to start a second term as leader. It's the first sitting president to be re-elected in 20 years. He beat his rival, far-right candidate Marine Le Pen, but by less than the last time they met 5 years ago. So how will President Macron heal division during a cost-of-living crisis and the war in Ukraine that's pushing energy prices further up? We have the BBC's Rob Young in Nice in the south of France, where Marine Le Pen has a strong base of support. What will citizens want to hear from their re-elected leader?
Well, an awful lot of supporters of Emmanuel Macron hope that there will be more of the same. A lot of them do like his centre-right, liberal, economic policies. But an awful lot of voters will fear more of Macron. He has, for example, said that he intends to increase the pension age from 62, where it stands at the moment, perhaps to 65. If you look at the overall data, the economy is growing rapidly after the pandemic. Unemployment is the lowest it has been for years. But when you speak to people, they do not necessarily feel that in their daily lives. A lot of people are struggling. And so Emmanuel Macron in his speech said that he would not just be a president for people who had voted for him, he would be a president for all French people.
Je veux le porter avec force pour les années qui viennent.
This is a manifesto I want to carry forward for the next 5 years.
Des divisions qui se sont exprimées.
And of course, this will involve representing the different views and disagreements that have been expressed.
Au respect de chacun.
Every day, I will continue to respect every individual, and we will continue building a fairer society.
And that there was a hint that perhaps the second term may be slightly different to the first, as he attempts, as he said he would, to try to heal some of the deep divisions in this country.
Rob, let's just widen this out a bit and look at some of the international reaction to his victory, particularly from leaders within the European Union.
Yes, well, Marine Le Pen's national rally had said that it would try to bring in radical change, not just in France, but at a European Union level, particularly when it came to the free movement of people, one of the fundamental principles of the EU. And so within minutes of the projected result that Emmanuel Macron would secure a second term, leaders from across the European Union were on social media issuing their congratulations to him, saying that they were pleased that he had won a second term. Probably relieved is maybe more the right word, because there was concern about what a Le Pen victory might mean for the EU. But more than 40% of French people did vote for a party that was promising big change at an EU level, a party that just a few years ago had said that it would pull France out of the European Union and perhaps even do away with the euro currency and replace it with a new French franc, all of which does suggest that there's a large portion of French people who not only don't like the way things are currently being run at a national level, but at a European level too.
Indeed. Rob, we'll leave it there for the moment, but I'm sure this is something we will be returning to. Rob Young in the south of France, in Nice, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
Rob mentioning the relief from EU leaders. Well, on the European markets, any relief or reaction to his victory has been rather drowned out by continued concerns about global growth and rising inflation, plus what is happening in China, which we will hear more of in a moment. We're seeing falls of around 2% across European markets. We've seen major falls on the Chinese market so far today. Shanghai down 5%, and also what appears to be panic buying in the Chinese capital Beijing as fears grow that authorities may introduce a hard lockdown there. Officials have stepped up mass testing and tightened entry restrictions. You may recall Shanghai is currently in lockdown, with residents there only allowed out for daily testing as China pursues its zero COVID strategy. Stephen McDonnell reports for us from Beijing.
This week's three rounds of compulsory mass testing for millions of people in Beijing's Chaoyang district have spooked residents here. Beijing has only added 19 new official COVID cases today, but the government has warned that Omicron infections may have already been spreading in the city undetected over the past 7 days. In Shanghai, though overall case numbers have come down, there are still tens of thousands of new infections most days, meaning the strict lockdown there, now into its fifth week, could still have a way to go.
Stephen McDonald in Beijing. Finally, to the beautiful game. That's the way we think of football or soccer here in the UK. The government has confirmed it's giving a green light to an independent regulator for English clubs with financial oversight. The BBC's Will Bain has the details.
Authorities in the UK have been looking at issues around English soccer governance since the short-lived and ill-fated plan for a European Super League. The plan then, that the richest sides on the continent would spin out into their own competition, sparked a fierce backlash. As a result, the government promised to tighten the rules around club ownership and promised to give fans more of a say. Today, they endorsed a plan which would give the new regulator powers to vet potential new owners, scrutinise club finances and hand out financial penalties for wrongdoing. Fans would also be given a golden share to ensure things like club logos, team names and uniforms are protected. But many supporter groups feel the measures don't go far enough and are unhappy that the new proposals will now go out for yet another period of consultation, which could stretch out to 2024. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. As always, thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.